This is episode 55 of the Evolve Marriage Podcast. Today, Kate and I are talking about divorce, especially around what to do when your partner brings this up to you, kind of drops the bomb on you, if you will. We talk a little bit about how we dealt with it in our own marriage, how we got help, and exactly the steps that you can take in order to bring this conversation to a place where you can create awareness around what's really going on in order to move towards healing your marriage and making more healthier choices. So I hope you like it.
Hi, I'm Kate McDougall.
And I'm Eric McDougall, certified master coach.
And this is the Evolved Marriage Podcast,
where every week you learn valuable skills to help you evolve your marriage so your best years together are ahead of you. Here we go. All right, here we go.
Hello.
We're on, we're live.
I feel so silly tonight.
I know you are.
Okay.
It's all good.
Hey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Welcome back. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to newcomers. Welcome to our four listeners. Hi.
Wow, that was an overwhelming amount of welcomes.
Hello.
Hey, everybody. Yeah. So if it's your first time, welcome. If you got pulled in by the amazing title that I put up for whatever episode this was, welcome for the first time. But also if you're a return listener, thanks for continuing to jump in with us and hear us be a little zany, but also serious because we're talking about a serious topic today.
Come on.
But how are you doing, Kate?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling really silly. I'm having a lot of fun. I started crocheting like a, you know, like an 80-year-old grandmother, but you know, I'm like a 35-year-old. Oh my gosh, I'm not 35 yet.
You just insulted all the crocheters under 80, by the way.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying. I'm also a crocheter. So I used to judge and think it was like an 80-year-old thing, but it's not. It's so much fun.
This is something you do. So I just, sorry to cut you off. What I want to say is, whenever you do something new, you
like
always
justify?
Sit in judgment with it. I remember when you like got into crystals, you were saying things, and you got into health stuff, you got into it.
Yeah, now okay, it's crocheting. Kate gets into a lot of stuff.
You're like, oh, it's for old ladies and it's crazy that I'm crocheting.
Well, it's actually my son who told me that. He was like, you look like a grandma. And I was like, thank you.
Got to embrace the things you love.
Yes, I do. So I'm really enjoying it. And I finished the body of a puppy dog today that I've been working on forever for Francis. So it's been like a big task. It was supposed to be 20 centimeters. It's now like 50 centimeters. I don't know where I went wrong, but it's a nice dog.
We're talking about a pretty serious subject today.
Yes, we are. How are you doing though before?
I'm doing good. I'm just trying to get emotionally regulate in a serious way.
I'm sorry.
With you here.
That's like...
So we wanted to talk about this subject because it's been coming up a lot in the men's community that I run. But it's also something that's really, you know, close to our heart because it's something we experience, which is, you know, this idea of when your partner tells you, you know, like, hey, I think it's probably a good idea for us to end our marriage. You know, we have a lot of men who come to our community and they're kind of at this place where it's like, hey, I thought everything was going well, but all of a sudden my spouse
dropped
is just like,
bomb.
Hey, this is not working for me anymore. Uh-huh. And I think a lot of times, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about what typically happens in these situations for the partner who's receiving this news. And we're really going to help you, just like we kind of did in our marriage,
mm-hmm.
we're going to help you understand what your options are, what you can do in order to show up in a healthy way and be really at peace with whatever happens in the end.
Right.
Because one of the big things that we said in our marriage is, you know, we didn't want to do anything, you know, I didn't want to do anything that was manipulating you to stay, mm-hmm. right? I wanted you to stay on your own terms and you wanted me to stay on my own terms.
Right.
And I think every couple who's going through this also wants that, but we don't always see it because it's so close, right?
Yes.
It's so intense to hear this news, sometimes out of nowhere, and be very reactive. So we're going to have this conversation today.
Yeah. And I know for us, the conversation was usually initiated by you. You'd be the one dropping the big D. Mm-hmm.
Dropping that big D.
Dropping the divorce word. And I didn't know how to react. So when you brought up this subject, like you said, hey, we should probably talk about this. It's something that's been coming up. I love it. Like, I think if I had this episode back when you were dropping the divorce word, it would have definitely helped me out, and I would have probably gotten out of the usual patterns people fall into when they hear that, when their spouse comes up to tell them, hey, I think we should end this.
Yeah. And I think we, you know, eventually should do an episode on family of origin and how we typically mm-hmm. deal with different issues that come up in marriage based on how we were raised and what our beliefs are. Because the reality is how I was raised, my mom and dad, they got separated and eventually divorced. My dad remarried. So for me, you know, as I saw my parents end up with a really happy lifestyle mm-hmm. without each other,
right?
Probably more happy than if they would have stayed together. Divorce at the time was a very viable option towards creating a really healthy life because I was experiencing it by looking at my parents.
Right. Whereas I grew up in a home where my parents' marriage wasn't perfect. They worked through a lot of stuff together. And it was their motto was kind of like push through, figure it out. We're married. We've decided to commit forever. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to figure it out. So it was like fight to the death, kind of like.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily want to get too deep into this conversation around, you know, divorce and where it comes from and all that stuff, because I think that's a whole separate topic.
Gosh, yes.
Today, we're specifically going to touch on, you know, when your partner comes to you mm-hmm. and they kind of announce and kind of drop this bomb on you of,
I'm done.
Yeah. This is no longer working for me. Mm-hmm. I think we should get a divorce and kind of what happens. So number one, you know, when this is dropped on you, how do you think people should be reacting to this kind of news?
Should be or are reacting?
Well, I, you know, maybe we'll start with that. Maybe we'll start with what is actually happening.
Yeah, because honestly, like, I remember when you would drop that on me, I would shut down. I'd ignore it. I'd be like, oh, whatever. He's just extra mad today. So he's going to say that. I wasn't taking it as serious as I should have been. And then there was other times where you would mention it and I would go into panic mode. Please don't leave me. I'll do anything, begging, negotiating, anything to like not have this happen. And then there was other times where I would go into defense mode. Oh yeah, you want to leave me? Well, guess what? You're not so flipping perfect yourself. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, start gaslighting, start defending, start blaming, shaming. And it just blew into this like ginormous fight, which didn't help my cause of I want to stay in this marriage. So I think that's typically how people show up. I think when you get this news dropped on you and you're, especially when you're not expecting it, it can be really hard to take. So
it's very reactionary.
It's very reactionary.
Oftentimes, I think as we were having those conversations where I was dropping that stuff, I was saying it very matter-of-factly, mm-hmm. like, well, this is over. Like, nothing's ever going to work. Like,
and it was never like, knock, knock, hello, welcome, I'm home, and I would like to talk to you about something. I think we should divorce. It was mostly at the end of a conversation, at the end of an argument, you'd be like, listen, like, I don't know what to do anymore. Like, honestly, like, I think our best bet would be to separate. I think the only thing left for us is divorce. So that's kind of how it came up in our marriage for us. But I'm sure there's some people who, you know, honey, we need to talk. And that's the subject of their their interaction at that moment. So I do think that our typical reaction can be very negative, can be very reactionary. But I think what needs to happen in that moment is we need to stop and take a deep breath and decide, is this something I can talk about right now? Or is this something I need to table for another time when the kids aren't around, when I'm in a better mood, when I've had time to like think about it and I'm not going to jump down your throat about it? Like, is this the right time to talk about it? If not, make another time to talk about it, because this is something that cannot be ignored, because this is a heavy conversation, but it's also a very important conversation to have together.
Yeah. And I think the way we're kind of framing it, just to give you a bit of context, like for us, we see this as the beginning of a conversation.
Right.
Kate and I were all about pro-health. So, you know, the reality is in some couples, in some relationships, probably the healthiest relationship is to move from a marital relationship to a co-parenting relationship,
right?
This is reality, especially if there's abuse. A lot of times if there's addiction going on, like you need to create space in the marriage so the one person can heal that stuff and then decide from a healthy place whether or not they want to continue to have the marital relationship.
Right.
So I think we really need to preface this by saying what we're entering is the beginning of this conversation of your partner comes to you and they express this to you. And I agree. The first thing you need to do is to stop and not be reactive and be able to just take a breath and mm-hmm. say, okay, I'm going to take this in. I'm going to decide how I respond. And I think the healthiest way to respond when you're ready is from a place of curiosity.
Exactly.
Right.
Talk to your partner, ask them questions, let them speak and listen. Just give them space to open up. Tell me more about that. What is it about that that's frustrating you? Please elaborate. Dropping those key words to allow your partner to just let it out. This is what's on my heart. This is why I'm experiencing this. This is where this is coming from. And I need to tell you.
And that takes a lot of courage.
And right? strength. Oh my gosh, it takes strength. Because oftentimes it's really hard, because oftentimes the spouse coming up to you saying, you know, I want a divorce or I'm done, isn't coming happy-go-lucky like, oh, hey, I have something. They're going to come in probably guns blazing and blaming and attacking. And it's going to be your fault that the relationship is ending. And oftentimes that's what the relationship's going to, the conversation is going to sound like. So I think what you need to do and be able to do in that moment is just remind yourself, I'm listening. I'm giving my spouse a safe place where they can open up and they can talk about me and they can say whatever it is. And yeah, it's going to be hurtful sometimes, but I need to really take time to take this in and listen.
One of the things that we see in couples and I see in a lot of men is this conversation needs to be had, right? The partner comes to the partner and says, hey, you know, I want to talk about this. It's not working for me. The response is to say, okay, yeah, I'd love to talk about it. When I'm ready, I'll get back to you. I'm just taking all this in right now. I need to kind of take a breath and come at this from a really healthy place. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. But what inevitably happens with some people is then they just avoid the conversation
forever. Guilty.
Right? Yeah. And they're just like, oh, I'm just not there yet. I can't really talk about it yet. I need to process
you're
it all.
You're overreacting.
Right. And then it's years and years. Yeah. Till finally, you know, in some cases, we've seen the other partners like, well, I've been trying to talk about this for like 4 years.
Well, and you know what? And that's exactly as I was talking at the beginning of the episode. I'm like, oh my gosh, like here I am telling people, like, sometimes it would be this and sometimes it would be that. This conversation came up often between Eric and I. The word divorce must have come up at least 20 times in our marriage. Looking back at it now from a healthier space, I thought before, like, this was a threat Eric was doing. If you don't, then I'll divorce. If you don't, then I'll divorce. But it wasn't at all what he was trying to do. Now that I can look back at our conversations with a healthy pair of eyes, set of eyes, I can see that the reason this conversation was coming up so often was because it was never being talked about. So he would say, I think we need to get a divorce. And I would sweep it under the rug. I'd push it away. I'd say, no way. I'd pretend he didn't say it. I'd start blaming him, shaming him. Like, this conversation was never done in the way that we're about to show you how to do it. So I think if the word divorce has been coming up again and again and again, don't look at it like, oh, my spouse hates me and they're just trying to piss me off. No, your spouse is trying to talk to you and they don't feel heard. So they have to bring it up again and again and again.
And to them, right, it's a bit of a red flag, right? This is kind of a, you know, I say it all the time, but like when I hear men come to me, it's like, oh my God, my wife has just told me that like things aren't working for her and she wants to think about separation. I'm like, that's great. That can be the catalyst for your growth then.
Exactly.
Isn't it great that your wife came to you and told you that to your face? Like that takes a lot of courage, right? So take that in and now you can start to move towards, okay, let's get some feedback then. What's not working for you? What can I do differently? And then you can also, I remember for me, I had to look myself in the mirror as a man and say like, am I, if I'm being really honest with myself, am I showing up as a great husband? Am I showing up as a great father? Am I showing up as a leader of my family?
Right. So I think that kind of brings us into like the third thing you want to do. So you've taken a deep breath, you've stopped, you've rescheduled the conversation and actually held to that rescheduling, or you're having the conversation because you're in a healthy headspace to do it. You've taken time to listen to your spouse, however long that needs to take. And now you're taking ownership of your side of the street. You're talking to your spouse and you're saying, you know what you're saying? It's true. I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. And I have been saying these things or doing these things and just reiterating what it is that they're saying and validating what they're saying and taking ownership for your side of the street, saying, yeah, I haven't been perfect in this relationship. This isn't a spot where you're like, I haven't been perfect, but you're not being perfect either. That's not what we're trying to do here. You're just taking this conversation as an opportunity to listen and learn and ask questions and then tell them, I've heard you. I'm hearing you right now.
You know, to get to a place where really high level, you can actually, and it might not happen at first, but really just thank your partner to say, hey, I appreciate you being open and honest about this, because it takes two people to say the same, but it takes one person to change. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's pretty great when your partner comes to you and says, these things aren't working for me. And you, from a healthy place, can say, okay, like, let's hear it, because I want to work at this, right? I want things to be different. I want you to have a great experience of our marriage. And I know that I'm influencing and impacting that. So yeah, I love that idea of taking ownership. So what do we do after we've taken ownership? We have this conversation and we validate our partner and we say, yeah, there's a lot of things that I need to do differently right. in order for us to evolve and have a healthier marriage.
So I think oftentimes this conversation isn't coming as a surprise. Like, and if it does, after you've listened to your spouse, you're kind of like, you know what? I haven't been showing up as the wife or the husband that I want to be. So it's hard to get to a place where you're being that husband or being that wife automatically. It yeah. takes practice and it takes help. So I think the next step would be to go get some help. You cannot do this alone.
Right.
As much as you think, oh, I'll look at stuff online, I'll go on listen TikTok podcasts, and Instagram, right? listen to yeah, podcasts.
That's great.
Yes, it's great. It's going to help. But you need another human mm-hmm. who's going to help you work through some of the issues that you're having with yourself in order to help you show up better as a wife or as a husband. So whether that looks like therapy, whether that looks like coaching, whether that looks
mastermind
like
mastermind communities,
local communities, exactly.
Churches,
there's
right?
so many options for you to go get help from another human who has either gone through this or is trained to help you go through this. But you need to start looking at yourself and taking a good look at yourself and saying, what can I do to heal myself, heal the wounds that are coming up in our relationship? Or what can I do to improve myself so that I can feel like I'm a better wife or like I'm a better husband and I can show up that way? You know, maybe I'm too stressed. Maybe I'm angry all the time. Well, why? Figure that out with another person and yeah. then take steps to adjust that and make improvements for yourself, for your relationship.
Yeah. And I think what often happens, you know, at least what we see a lot of couples and what I see a lot of men do is when they hear this and they go through it, they start to put so much focus and pressure on the marriage, mm-hmm. right? And they're coming at it. You know, what I like to say is there's a very different energy when you're coming at this from a place of I'm trying to prevent divorce as opposed to a place of I'm trying to create a healthy relationship.
Right.
right. One of them, you're always going to be based in fear. There's going to be a lot of scarcity. You're going to be making choices that are very reactionary. And there is probably going to be a lot of avoidance mm-hmm. as well, right? You're constantly going to be testing the waters. And what we realized, Kate and I, after, you know, a lot of work and trying a lot of different things.
Trial and error. A lot of trial and error.
I think the best thing for us looking back was to create space yes. in our marriage, right? Yeah. Space from each other, remove some of the pressure, remove some of the codependent behaviors that we had. Mm-hmm. And that came from, you know, me finding a community, Kate finding a community, and really leaning into those communities to give the marriage a bit of time to breathe, right?
Right. And that journey will look different for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. Like my journey is we did couples therapy. I was doing personal therapy for myself. Then I did coaching. I needed somebody to kick me in the butt to get me going, to get me starting to do things for myself in order to show up for my marriage. That's what I needed. But that doesn't mean it's going to work for everyone. That's not everyone's journey.
Yeah. And we find that a lot of the revelations, a lot of the healing is going to practice while connecting to these outside sources, right? Mm-hmm. Sources outside the marriage that can give you a different perspective, but also that can challenge you in a really safe way, right? Something that a therapist can do, a coach can do. And like you said, Kate, I think it's different for everyone, right? So you have to do trial and error. You have to find what goes for you, what works for you. And then bring some of that energy back to the marriage.
Right.
Now, one thing that I think is really important to say is that you really have to come at this from a place of doing this for you, right? Mm-hmm. So me, Eric, as a husband, I want to be able to look at myself in the mirror and make choices, take actions that align with who I want to be. Not because somehow it's going to get Kate to stay, but instead so that I can look at myself and no matter what happens, I can say, you know what, Eric, you did the best you could. And in the end, if Kate was not ready to continue to be married to you, that's okay. You know, we're going to move to a co-parenting relationship. In our case, it worked out. We both decided to stay. But who knows, right? What would have happened? And so I think for, you know, a lot of people, what typically happens is it becomes this, I'll do this as long as you. And they want this guarantee from their partner that, hey, if I do all these things, are you going to stick around? Mm-hmm. And that idea is totally dysfunctional. Like you can't be doing that. And the reality is if you really stop and think about it, you know, for us looking back, that's not what we wanted. Like I didn't want to try to jump through a million hoops to get you to stay in our marriage mm-hmm. because then I would probably always have that question of like, did you actually stay because you love me? Like, did you actually stay because you wanted to stay? Or did you just stay because I like checked all the boxes in that moment, and you're like, okay, I guess I'll stick around because you did some work.
Right. And it's, when you're talking, it's so like, it's bringing me back so much to like when we were going through those conversations, our first steps going through those conversations, you know, like we got help, we did everything we needed to do, but it was that fourth step, the like focusing on ourselves as a person. So me, Kate, focusing on Kate, mm-hmm. on myself. It was so easy for us to fall into, hey, we should get divorced. Like this relationship is not working. And our first instinct, and I think it's a lot of people's first instincts, is, okay, let's start having more sex. Let's start going on more dates. Let's start scheduling, you know, more time for each other. Let's start spending more time together. Let's start taking things off our plate so that we can be together more often. But the problem is, when you've got two unhealthy people in a relationship, when you've got two people who are hurt, who have baggage, who have things in the past that might be affecting the current relationship, no matter how many dates you go on, no matter how much more sex you have, no matter, you know, how much more time you make for each other, it's not going to improve until you start focusing on yourself and falling in love with yourself first. And until you can learn to love the person you are, where you're at in life now, because oftentimes it's easy to lose yourself in your marriage, especially when it's going down the crapper.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
It's so important for you to reconnect with yourself and say, who is Kate and what does Kate like to do, so that you can show up as yourself, your true authentic self in the relationship. And so if Eric had decided after I had done that work and figured out all of that stuff about myself, that our lives don't really align and that it's still not working for him, then at least I love myself enough that I can be like, you know what? I still have myself and all these wonderful things that I am, and I can be in a relationship with myself. Like, I don't need Eric. And when we were talking first, when we were talking about divorce, it was like, well, I need Eric in my life. I need him in my life. He can't leave me. If he leaves me, like, what am I going to do? Who am I without him? I'd completely lost that person. So this fourth step is like the most crucial. Like, focus on yourself. Take time away from the marriage. Take pressure off the marriage. Stop doing date nights. Stop having sex. Stop all of it until you can really figure out, what is it that I need to make myself feel good right now, instead of always leaning on your marriage to make yourself feel better.
Yeah. And I love that you said that. And it's such a great way to kind of wrap up the episode, because I do think that in order to have a lot of that self-reflection, like, yes, you can do some of it on your own in a vacuum, but I do think that you need other people to bounce ideas mm-hmm. off of that are willing to challenge you. Because I think there was times in my journey where I was just avoiding certain things, where I was like, oh yeah, I'm spending time myself, but really I wasn't. I was still drinking. I was still working too much. And you're like, hey, like, are you taking care of yourself? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. But mm-hmm. like, you know, you didn't really see it. And I needed other people in my life to really hold me accountable. It's like, Eric, are you doing things that are moving you closer to keeping your marriage together? Or are you just like waiting on the sidelines and waiting for Kate to make a choice for both of you?
Right.
You know, I think I needed that, because part of me was like, okay, I'm just going to see what Kate's going to do. And if she wants to save it, once she does everything, then maybe I'll decide to just start
kind of figure out what's my life going to look like when I'm a bachelor.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's not what I'm saying. Don't do that.
No. And I think it's really important to have healthy people in your life to challenge you and to support you as well. Mm-hmm. Not from a place of like calling you out or anything like that, right? But from a place of, hey, like, I love you and I want to help you do what you want to do. But what's most important, just like you said, we want to make sure that when you're making choices, they're coming from a healthy place. Mm-hmm. And so once you heal a bit and you get, you know, your life in order and you can look yourself in the mirror, maybe the choice is to step away from the marriage. Mm-hmm. And you know that that's what's best for you. And you know that that's healthy for what's going to move forward. But for us, that wasn't the case. But that can only be done once you really start to process a lot of the stuff and you decide to make these choices from a healthy place instead of a fearful, reactionary place.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I completely agree with that.
Yeah. So we hope that this was helpful. We hope this message really got to some people, because we've been hearing this conversation a lot. You know, spouses, partners have been coming to us and they're just like, hey, like, I just got this bomb dropped on me. I don't really know what to do. This is just something you can do at the beginning of that journey. We're not going to pretend and say this is an easy fix. This is a long journey.
Nor an easy conversation.
Right? Yeah. This is a very challenging thing to experience. It was challenging for us. We need a lot of help. And the reality is, you know, after we were together for 15 years when things weren't going really well, you know, to change some of these behaviors that we've been doing for so long, it didn't happen overnight, you know, and some of those behaviors sometimes still rear their ugly heads sometimes.
Yeah, they sneak up. But because we've gotten therapy and coaching and help, we know when they show up, we know what to do now. We're not like, oh, there it is again. Boom. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm so lost. Like, we know what to do. We're like, oh, there it is again. Well, do what I learned and start over. And that's okay. I'm going to keep going from here.
Absolutely. And keep taking action. Mm-hmm. So we hope you love this episode. If you did, please rate, review us, and subscribe to our podcast. You can check us out on Instagram as well. I'm pretty active there. I put up some hilarious reels and some insight. I also have an active men's community. So if you want to join us there, this is strictly for men who have healthy lives and really want to lead their wives when it comes to their marriages, right? They want to take their marriage to the next level and evolve. So I'll put all that stuff in the show notes. But we really, really hope that if you are experiencing this, that you're able to reach out to some other people, get some help, and get a community around you, because it's really important not to do this on your own.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. So we love you, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Bye.
Bye.